Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, our third and final live right here on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. It is a Wednesday, a doubleheader of WNBA action later tonight, the final day of games in the W before the long all-star into Olympic break. Today is July 17th, the next WNBA regular season game day, August 15th. So we'll preview the two games that we have today in the WNBA. We'll take a look at the Open Championship with our guy, the producer and co-host of The Smiley Show. That's Charlie Hulme later on in this third and final hour. And we'll continue to take a big picture approach to Major League Baseball. Now at the All-Star break with a full 2 days off and some football conversations to start this third and final hour.
Absolutely, and we'll be treating that British Open just like the Super Bowl at this point tomorrow. Something ugly. Going in, live overnight, opening up in the morning, maybe a little hit tomorrow morning where we can go live to the British Open. Can we fix that in, by the way, for tomorrow? We have options for that? Because I know we show the Live Golf here on the commercials. Can we break into the British Open? Is that possible?
Maybe just the Live Golfers at the Open Championship. Oh. So just like, featured group coverage. Yep. Maybe it's just Bryson DeChambeau. But did you see Live Golf show or just during the commercials?
No, just the commercials. Like I see them running. I figure like we could like run like a live feed for the commercial breaks. That's just the British Open. And then we come back here. Yeah. I figure the people would get to be engaged by that and like that a lot.
For sure. For sure. They would be engaged. They would stick around. I don't think we've had them on our show yet, so that might be the difficulty. Anyway, we'll see.
Are we allowed to show live highlights of Live Golf on the show? Could we do that?
You're asking the right questions, but you're asking the wrong guy. I guess we'll figure out. Maybe we have to reach out to the RNA, the Royal and Ancient. Oh, Kevin would be good as well. You know he's going to have some Open Championship bets as well. So as we go around the National Football League right here to start off our third hour, there's been some manufactured drama and maybe trade talk speculation around Devontae Adams. Is it real? Is it not? What does the public have to say? Will Devontae Adams play for the New York Jets this season? That was the question in Fade the Public. At Sports Grid on Twitter. Will Devontae Adams play for the New York Jets this year? Of course, he is a member about to enter year number three in the desert of the Las Vegas Raiders. Yes or no? 76% of the public, more than that, saying no. It's the correct assessment. Outside of Aaron Rodgers just continuing to talk to cameras despite saying he doesn't want any offseason drama following the New York Jets, I'm not exactly sure what trade speculation there is around Devontae. His representation saying it's baseless, it's unfounded. He is a Las Vegas Raider, period. So I agree with the public saying, no, he's not going to end up with the New York Jets.
Yeah, me too. 76% of the vote coming in now through a couple hundred votes. I agree with that. He's not going to be a New York Jet. Or will he be a New York Jet at this point is the bigger question coming around that trade deadline. But no should be there. That's where you should be voting. But also, when you see Aaron Rodgers at the American Century Championship golfing out there at Lake Tahoe, he puts it back in the news. Can't wait to play with Davante Adams again. So I'd like, is he so diabolical that he believes that they possibly can't actually play together with the New York Jets? But if there is fallout, he can play the woe is me. I'm the scapegoat. I tried to win for the Jets. They didn't want to win behind the scenes. Now I got to get out of here. And the perfect place for me to go is the Vegas Raiders because they probably need a quarterback at the end of the season. Hence, I can't wait to play with Davante Adams again. Not necessarily in New York here, but out in Las Vegas. That's the only thing I can think of because the one thing that keeps this going is obviously Aaron Rodgers repeatedly said he wants to be with Davante Adams. And by the way, can we cross this bridge as well? They both played in Green Bay. Don't you remember when the fight was, hey, man, let's make sure we both get paid here, and Davante Adams, and I think Aaron Rodgers got paid first and then was like, you know what? That's going to solidify Davante Adams being a career Green Bay Packer. And like a week later, he's like, yeah, I'm going to the Vegas Raiders. Like, boy, that didn't make any sense. Aaron Rodgers wanted to come back, but Davante Adams wanted to leave at the same time. So it's an interesting dynamic between those two already. But playing for the Jets this season, I can't see that happening. I really can't, Ben.
Yeah, I don't either, Donnie. And I think the conversation around Davante Adams, who despite the rotating cast and carousel at the quarterback position, not his best car from their days at Fresno State, that he expected to be that Hall of Fame quarterback to guide him in Las Vegas. Davante Adams has continued to put up numbers, more than 1,400 receiving yards in his first year in 2022 out in the desert, 14 touchdowns to lead all of the NFL. Last year, still more than 1,100, eight receiving scores as well. And that was with Jimmy Garoppolo, Aiden O'Connell, some others, I think, thrown into that mix as well. This year, it's probably going to be Gardner Minshew at the quarterback spot for Las Vegas. Now, with all of that being said, if the question was different, and the question for the Fade the Public poll is sound because it's really just been Aaron Rodgers saying he wants to reunite with his former top target in Green Bay, but if the question was, will Davante Adams be traded through the 2024 NFL season, then I think those margins would have been a lot tighter. Maybe I would have even voted yes. I just feel for Davante Adams. He made his way out of Green Bay. He wanted to get that paycheck, and he did. So he was traded for a lot in return to the Packers organization to reunite with Derek Carr. But about 15 games into the 2022 campaign, Derek Carr, who had like never missed a game for the Raiders, was benched and then quickly dealt to the New Orleans Saints early that offseason. Tough for Tay, man. He was not expecting that to be the case. So if things go south, and they're not expected to be great for the Raiders this year, despite the belief in Antonio Pierce in that organization. The win total is just 6.5. Sure, the over has the juice, but we're probably talking 6-7 at most 8 wins. If it is a losing season for the considerable amount of the 2024 campaign ahead of the trade deadline, will Davante Adams ask to be dealt, and would the Raiders honor that request?
I think he will, because I'm not high on the Raiders this year, to be honest. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, which means if you do have a player that could turn into being a malcontent, I'm not saying Davante Adams is going to do this. We're just trying to play out scenarios where it's like, look, it's not working out here. My quarterbacks are terrible. We're bad. I'm in the prime of my career. I know I'm making money now. You can get something here if you flip me at the trade deadline that you can use for assets for next year's draft. It's a win-win situation at this point. The only question is going to be, where would he actually go and who would be able to claim him? Because the one team that I think would have fit like a glove, like, hey, trade deadline, look at that. Kansas City Chiefs get Davante Adams, and it's another easy Super Bowl win. But there's no way, shape, or form that the Raiders are going to trade in the division to help the Kansas City Chiefs win another Super Bowl. That's not going to happen. So typically, it wouldn't even be the New York Jets because of the same conference. You would sort of look to the NFC and where he could possibly fit in. And there's a couple organizations. Davante Adams, by the way, perfect fit would be probably the Buffalo Bills if it's all said and done at that trade deadline. That would be an unbelievable move. But it's, he shouldn't go anywhere because he's young, he's in his prime, he's talented, and he got paid. But again, wide receivers are going to look around. If he's not getting the usage rate he would like or the productivity and or team success, he's probably going to ask management for a trade if it makes sense. And if it makes sense for both sides, it possibly could happen, which again will always keep the Jets in play. The Jets don't technically need another wide receiver. Like Mike Williams will be back. Garrett Wilson is a very, very good young wide receiver. So technically he doesn't even fit in that locker room. And shame on Aaron Rodgers, where you're always supposed to back up your guys. Hey, would you love Davante Adams? Like, man, that's my guy. But, dude, we are set in that locker room, even if you don't believe it. Say behind closed doors. Don't say it in front of a national TV camera just to get the speculation going. Or, like, if I'm Garrett Wilson, I hate this guy already. Because last year he tried to bring in 19 players above me, and now he's trying to do it again? Stop it.
And he played 4 snaps last year as well, not albeit his own fault with the Achilles injury. But what benefit has Aaron Rodgers truly provided to this New York Jets organization? It's not like this was some leaked phone call or sources getting this out of Aaron Rodgers. He turned to a camera at the American Century Championship and offered up this information by himself. And yet, ooh, woe is me. There's so much drama in our locker room. I'm tired of that guy. MLB gets the line up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's play Guess the Line, live right here on this Wednesday on the early line at Sports Grid in the thick of the Major League Baseball All-Star break. Looking at where numbers were to begin 2024 and where might they be to start 2025, representative of where we have things around MLB at this moment. We start with the AL MVP frontrunner. His name is Aaron Judge, and he is a hefty favorite to win his second MVP award in the last 3 years. In the American League. Minus 370, the number on Aaron Judge. Gunnar Henderson has the second best price at plus 310. In fact, for Aaron Judge to win the AL MVP versus the field, it's minus 340 and plus 260 DRS, as you pointed out, throughout the commercial break. But entering the year, Aaron Judge was not the favorite to win the AL MVP award at a 7-1 number. He had the second best mark behind his teammate in pinstripes, Juan Soto. So, it's plus 700 to start the year. Now the heavy favorite at minus 370 to win it throughout 2024 at the All-Star break. What number do you think Aaron Judge might have to win the American League MVP hardware entering next season?
It does depend on where he ends up this year. And the reason I say that is, let's just say he wins the MVP once again. Now, automatically, we say to ourselves, well, it should be based on individuality on a year-to-year basis. Like, that's the correct way to do it. And I would probably say 90% of the sports writers who vote on it will do that. But we have a tendency as human beings to say, well, he's already got two. Is somebody going to be comparable next year where it's their time to shine? We'd like to give them the MVP. It's not fair to do it, but it's just the way some things operate. So I take a look at that 7-1 price where he opened up this season. It's minus 370. Let's just say he does win another one. He's probably going to open up farther away, which said, well, hold on. He could probably come out and have that same performance and be the MVP again. And yes, he actually can do that. But I know for a fact that if he wins it this year, next year will be even that much harder to win it. So I envision him opening up at a 7-1 price like he did this year. If he wins it, opening up at a 10-1 price next year, because I'm pretty sure there's going to be some talent down the stretch that is going to close the gap. And always, you're looking for the next option. The same way we brought up in the NBA. Hey, man, Nikola Jokic is the best NBA player. And be like, boy, he's still the favorite. I'm not betting that guy. So I think those price points will reflect it. So I'm actually going to say he's going to start a little bit lower than he did this year if he wins the award this year. There you go.
But you kind of just contradicted your whole point. You just said Nikola Jokic has won the NBA MVP award 3 of the last 4 years, and we would not advise betting it, but he still opened as the favorite. So I still think Aaron Judge winning this award for the second time in the last 3 years would still open as the favorite, even if it's a 5-1 number. But I would tell everybody, do not bet it. Go bet Gunnar Henderson. Go bet Bobby Witt Jr. Somebody else, because Aaron Judge won't win it. But I still expect the odds makers would open him as the favorite.
But here's the part, though, that's different between the NBA with Nikola Jokic. There's only a select few guys, honestly, that you look at that MVP market. Let's just say the season plays out and everybody has a decent season and Aaron Judge wins it next year. You're going to look at 10 to 15 guys at first like, oh, you know what, if they have a good season, and they possibly can. That's the way I look at it here as opposed to the NBA, where we're predetermined. Like when we talk about MVP, Judge, Henderson, Soto, Witt Jr., Devers, Ramirez, like at the start of next year, you're going to look at all of those guys and be like, hey, you know what? They're really good players. We don't do that in the NBA. Like Jason Tatum, it might be, could be the best player in the NBA. Doesn't even get a sniff because like, you know what? He's on a team full of a couple good players where you're sort of icing him out saying it's supposed to be Doncic next year and it's going to be Jokic, maybe Joel Embiid, maybe Antetokounmpo. There's such a small select few. I just think in Major League Baseball, those price points are allowed to be lower because there's so many more people to start the season that can actually win the MVP award than technically in the NBA just because there's not more players. There's not, like, there's so many more players in the National League and the American League that are up for the award than per se what the NBA players would be.
Yeah, but far less superstars at the same time. The betting public might not even know who Gunnar Henderson is if he opens as the American League MVP favorite next year. For all of your arguments, I think that one was a little bit flawed in how you tried to make the point. Aaron Judge, if he wins it this year, as he is expected to do, he's going to open as the favorite. Again, like you said, Donnie, I would advise betting everybody else, but he'll open as the favorite at a 5-1 number or better.
Who was the top five or top 10 this year? So Juan Soto to open the season was 1. What was his number at?
5-1, I believe it was.
Okay, so I mean, so we're probably looking at next year. I let's just say these two guys play well. I bet you Juan Soto opens up ahead of Aaron Judge next year if he stays with the Yankees again. So which means that I don't think Aaron Judge is going to open up at that same sort of price. I think he's going to fall back a little bit.
So if Aaron, I actually thought we were going to have more of a conversation about the National League and Shohei Ohtani. Just to finish out this idea, let's say you're right. Aaron Judge opens with the fifth best price at a longer number at 10-1. Who's in front of him and why?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if Juan Soto has a decent finish to the season, he's probably once again going to be in that MVP race.
But his teammates still win the MVP.
But I don't care. That doesn't matter what happens at the end of the season. We talk about the beginning of the season, right? Like, that's what the ask price is. Like, what's his MVP odds going to be to start the season? I don't think Aaron Judge is going to be the favorite. Therefore, if I don't think he's going to be the favorite, I think he's going to come around much closer to a 10-1 price than, let's just say, a 5-1 price like Soto had. That's all.
I really thought this was going to be a pretty quick conversation. We both say he'd open at the favorite at 5-1, but bet guys like Gunnar Henderson, and then it didn't turn out to be that case. Shohei Ohtani is the hefty odds-on favorite right now to win the National League MVP award at a minus 380 number, which we did not think would be the case this year, but might be every year following in L.A. when he gets back on the bump to throw as a starting pitcher in Los Angeles as well. For comparison's sake, Shohei Ohtani, who won the MVP award last year in the American League, opened at plus 220 and quickly went into minus money because of how prolific he was on the mound and, of course, with the bat. But this year opened with the fourth best number to win the National League MVP award, plus 950 behind the reigning winner, Ronald Acuña Jr., and his two teammates in Los Angeles, Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman. Expecting Ohtani to start as a pitcher next year as well again, what number do you think he has to win the 2025 National League MVP award?
Much lower. And I don't know what the fair point would be. Obviously, it's not going to be a plus 100, but like minus 250, right, minus 300 legitimately, because he's going to once again do something that nobody else can do. I'm actually surprised he has this big of a lead because there's a lot of people voting that don't want to give it to a true DH here. We'll see how the season closes. Yeah. I expect it to get much, much closer. But next year, there is no argument. He's number one far and away, and he probably will be the MVP next year.
I remember the conversation before the year. We said if you're going to bet anybody else in the National League, this is the season. And Shohei is now minus 380. Paul Skeens talks next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So now we talk National League Cy Young. I don't know what my co-host Donnie Wrightside is going to say. Would not be a very good odds maker in the risk room as he is showing his future individual prices here. But Paul Skeens, DRS, at the start of the 2024 Major League Baseball season, wasn't even in Major League Baseball. We expected at some point Skeens would get to the bigs. We did not necessarily expect the number one overall pick to get to the bigs and in 11 starts, make history, and start the National League All-Star Game, or the All-Star Game for the National League. So his price to win National League Cy Young before the year wasn't even available to bet. What do you think the number will be for Paul Skeens entering 2025?
Yeah, I don't know what anybody opened up this year at, but Paul Skeens next year, based on what he's probably going to finish this year, should be the favorite in the National League. There's a lot of really good pitchers, and Shohei Ohtani will be up there, but obviously not the pitching ilk for my money next year, just going toe-to-toe with the Skeens. I think Skeens will be more dominant. And the question mark is going to be this year is, how is Skeens going to finish up? Because, you know, the Pittsburgh Pirates operate much differently like every other Major League Baseball team. They're about dollars and cents, and if they can shut him down 3 weeks before the season ends when they're out of the playoffs, they don't care about it. As a matter of fact, they'll probably use it against him. Like, you know what? If we shut him down, he doesn't win the Cy Young. He can never use that against us in negotiations. That's the type of organization Pittsburgh is at this point here. I do believe this year he has a great chance to win the Cy Young. And next year, if he does win the Cy Young or doesn't win the Cy Young this year, how do you not have him number one? Because what do you look at? It's not team wins anymore. Can the Pittsburgh Pirates get to the playoffs or what the team's going to be? It's going to be he's going to be electric in the strikeout market. He's going to have an unbelievably high WAR number because he's going to win his fair share of games where the Pittsburgh Pirates aren't winning any other games, basically, outside his starts. And his analytical numbers, the exit, they're going to be off the charts next year. So Skeens, no doubt about it. To me, as long as he's healthy entering spring training, he's going to be that number one guy.
Oh, he is the favorite. I wonder how low the price will go. Spencer Strider did not win it last year for Atlanta. It was Blake Snell, but he was in contention for a good majority of the year before struggling down the stretch. Strider opened with the shortest price in either league to win the Cy Young Hardware, plus 380. For reference, Corbin Burnes was the favorite and is still performing like an AL Cy Young frontrunner in the American League at 8-1. There was only one other guy in the National League, Zach Wheeler, with a three-digit price at 9-1, and Spencer Strider was half that and then some. I would think Skeens is probably around a plus 300, plus 350 price, regardless of how this year ends, to win the National League Cy Young Award. But let's talk this year, DRS, because here are the odds currently to win the NL Cy Young. Chris Sale, a revelation of a season, most wins in MLB, 13 of them for the Atlanta Braves. His first year in the ATL, plus 125. Now the favorite in front of Philly, Zach Wheeler, at plus 165. Paul Skeens has a 5-1 number at the All-Star break. You got to go all the way to Tyler Glasnow at a 28-1 price to get that fourth best number. Paul Skeens, even after the first few starts of his career, 120-1 to win the National League Cy Young Award. It is now a 5-1 number. So my question to you is this. Can Paul Skeens legitimately win the National League Cy Young Award this year?
Yes, he can. But again, it's not up to him if he wants to win this award, because whether or not he goes to management and goes, I have a chance at this Cy Young, they don't care about that. You are a commodity to that franchise that, yes, maybe in 5 to 6 years they'll trade you away because they don't want to pay you, but they're not going to burn up your arm over an extra couple starts and not get this cheap talent priced right now for what he actually is. So when I say that 5-1 price in there, I think that's price indicative of we don't know what Pittsburgh is going to do. Now, if we got the ownership group with Bob Nutting come out tomorrow before the start of the second half and goes, oh, by the way, Paul Skeens isn't getting benched. Ben, he goes from 5-1, probably to a plus 200 price immediately, maybe even the favorite, because we are waiting and seeing. Because, quite again, just being smart, it's not really about the award, because they've already shown you this. Hey, by the way, I can have two no-hitters. Yeah, we don't care about that. We're going to limit your arms. So you're telling me that in the month of September when they're out of it, they're like, yeah, go ahead. Put an extra 50 innings on that arm and maybe get injured into the offseason. They're not going to do that. But again, if Pittsburgh said, under any conditions, unless his arm is falling off, he will throw right till October 1st, he's going to win the Cy Young.
I would agree with the sentiment. I certainly agree with the point that that price, if there was any indication the Buccos were doing that throughout the second stretch of this Major League Baseball season, it would be slashed in half, maybe by $4. He might even be the favorite at a certain point. Because here's the deal with Pittsburgh. One of my favorite bits about the Buccos for the entire month of June into the middle of July before the All-Star break, they were never better than two games below 500, but never worse than five games below 500, just kind of falling in that mediocre area. Pittsburgh's won four straight and six of their last seven entering the All-Star break. They're at even 500 at 48-48. Charlie Kuhl previews the Open next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's the eve of the final major championship of this year in golf. It's the 152nd Open Championship at Royal Troon in Scotland. To get you set for the fourth and final major of this year, Charlie Hulme joins us here on this Wednesday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. You see him all week long co-hosting the Smiley Show with Smiley Kaufman, the wonderful producer of that program as well. And although Charlie is not at Troon this week, just about a month ago, he was over across the pond in Scotland taking on Lynx Golf. So he understands the test. He understands the conditions. He helps us get ready for the Open Championship this year. Charlie, thank you so much for joining us on this Wednesday morning.
I'm so glad to be here, Ben and Donnie, back with you all previewing another major championship. And yes, I still wake up with cold sweats thinking of a 30-mile-per-hour left-to-right crosswind that I cannot control my golf ball in. So it gave me a lot of appreciation of what these guys are going to have to go up against this week at Royal Troon in order to shoot a good score and win this tournament.
And Charlie, that's where we start, because for golfers, for golf fans, they're not used to seeing Lynx Golf on the coast of the Isles in Scotland all that much. And for the pros, they don't really play that style all year long either. What is the main difference in your mind between Lynx Golf and what we're used to here stateside?
I think there are two main differences. It's what happens when the ball is in the air and what happens when the ball is on the ground. And so I think the wind, of course, we have wind here in the States. There are a number of locations that have that sort of feature. But the way the wind changes so much over there, and here's a great example, is yesterday these guys are out playing practice rounds in sort of a north-northwest wind that makes the front nine considerably easier. In fact, I heard Bryson drove maybe four or five greens, on par fours on the front nine, and made the back nine considerably harder. We're going to get to the tournament, and that wind is going to flip, and it's going to turn to a south-southwest sort of wind. So you really can't have some sort of a set game plan here without knowing what the conditions are going to be, and they're going to change so much that you have to have that sort of flexibility and ability to kind of say, well, I like to hit this type of shot in this one, that maybe I got to do something different. So that's one. Two is you got to understand what's going to happen when the ball gets on the ground. I mean, there are times where guys are going to hit shots that are going to land 30, 40, 50 yards short of these greens, and because the ground is so firm over there, they can kind of run it in, use the contours, use the slopes to kind of chase a ball up to where they want to get it to go, which is very different from what you see on most tour tracks here in the States, where guys are hitting the ball high with a ton of spin, they're stopping it close to the pin, and that's how you're going to score on an American track. So it's delightful golf. It's pretty much my favorite major of the year for that reason, the creativity that comes out, and I can't wait to see what sort of test Royal Troon poses this week.
You're so right on that, Charlie, because when you take a look at the Open Championship, it's such a contrast to like American style golf that you really like to see. And some of these guys can really adapt. If we look at the odds market at the FanDuel Sportsbook, top fives in the odds, Scheffler, McIlroy, Schauffele, Morikawa, and two people tied at 18-1. That's Åberg, and that's also DeChambeau. When we look at the stars at the top of that leaderboard, it's no surprise that Scotty is always leading the way. But does Scotty have a disadvantage as opposed to playing in U.S. type conditions and going over to Scotland? What's that difference going to be for him?
You know, it's a great question. It's one that Smiley and I unpacked a little bit this week in the lead up to this tournament. And I think that there's something that plays to his advantage, and there's something that could be a disadvantage, right? And so Scotty is the best ball striker on the planet right now. And he has the unique ability to both draw the ball and sort of cut or fade the ball depending on the shot that's called for. I mean, all tour pros can do it, but he can do it on command in high leverage situations. That is a huge, huge skill in a course where you're going to have a strong wind going one way on the front and a strong wind going the other on the back. So he can shape the ball either way into the wind and hold it where it needs to be. And that's kind of juxtaposed against a guy like Colin Morikawa, who likes to pretty much always fade the golf ball. So when you get a left-to-right win for a guy like Colin, he's going to have to keep aiming further and further left and trying to kind of figure out how much the wind's going to impact his ball to kind of land it where he wants to. The thing that could potentially be a disadvantage for Scotty is the surface, the putting surface. So this is a red fescue that's going to run considerably slower than most greens you'll see on tour. This will run probably around an 8 or a 9 compared to like a 12 or even a 13 for some tour stops. And it's a bumpy roll. It's not true all the time. So it's a, you know, not saying he's fixed the putter considerably this year going to that spider, but this is a spot where some of those wobbles pop up, maybe some frustration creeps in. That could potentially be a challenge for Scotty.
An 8 or 9 on the stint meter is like your local Muni when they just punch the green. So that will be a big change for Scotty Scheffler this week. He was not over there last week at the Genesis Scottish Open. He will, of course, be there at Royal Troon. 3 previous appearances at the Open, top 25 in all 3, a tied 8 spot at his first Open Championship back in 2021. As we look back at the odds board, Rory McIlroy has that second best price at plus 850. And Charlie, of course, the last time we saw Rory at a major championship, it was the U.S. Open, the disaster down the stretch that allowed Bryson DeChambeau to make that wonderful sand save on 18 to claim the U.S. Open. And the story that follows Rory each and every time he tees it up at a major is the decade-long drought, the 2014 Champion Golfer of the Year, but that was the last time he won a major title. Does Rory have what it takes to snap the decade-long drought this week at Troon?
Rory is my one-and-done pick this week, so I really hope he has what it takes because that would make me look pretty good. I would say the thing for Rory is he has – it's a little bit of a gamble, right? Because he has a lot of incredible superhuman, you know, traits that you know, should, if he plays his course the right way, translate to low scoring, and he could run away the thing in the same fashion that Henrik Stenson did in 2016 at Troon. He's got that tee down driver where he can draw it off the tee, he can cut it. That type of command is going to be huge. He is a high ball hitter. And not to say he can't change, you know, the way he's kind of flighting the ball with his irons and approach shots, but we've seen in the past where, you know, if he is hitting it high and the wind's impacting it, we've seen him a little loose with the wedges in some years past where the advantage he's gaining off the tee could get negated if he can't capitalize on that with his approach shots. And then the other piece of that is the same concern that I have for Scotty. He's a guy that we've seen struggle at times in high leverage situations with a putter, goes to a surface that can be bumpy and unpredictable like this Red Fescue. And, you know, I don't think we're going to get a repeat of the U.S. Open, but certainly could give some strokes away. We saw that in 2022 at the Open, where he just could not buy a putt on Sunday, and Cam Smith just snuck up from behind and ran away with the thing because he was making everything. So that's – I like Rory a lot this week, and I think this would be a good spot for him to break the slump, but – It's just, you know, whether or not those factors come into play and he can kind of get those things under control.
Burning a little bit of those embers there is Colin Montgomery going after Tiger Woods, telling him he should hang it up. And by the way, the FanDuel Sportsbook, he was a 300-1 chance this week, down to 250-1, now down to 220-1. The people may be believing in Tiger Woods and getting that little poke there from Colin Montgomery. How do we anticipate Tiger's watch this week for you?
I don't think since that iconic image of Dwayne Wade throwing the lob to LeBron James, we had a better alley-oop than the one that Colin Montgomery threw Tiger Woods in the subsequent response in the press conference where he said, "Hey, buddy, I'm an open champion. I am exempt till I'm 60. I can play as long as I'd like to. You, unfortunately, do not have the same luxury." That was hilarious. I think that a lot of people think that the Open Championship is Tiger's best shot. And I tend to agree to win another major because it's a flatter walk than most major venues, Augusta National included. And there are a lot of these kind of feel shots around these greens that Tiger has so much experience playing, you know, that theoretically he's a guy where that experience should really kind of come into handy. Now, we've said that a couple times this year. We said it at Pinehurst, didn't bode well for him there. The physical test is always the big one. But you'd like to think that this should suit Tiger. We saw him hit these little half sort of shots into the postage stamp, that this sort of test should be his best chance to make a cut, maybe even make a run at winning one of all the majors.
A 3-time Open champion and Champion Golfer of the Year. You don't poke the bear and you don't poke the tiger, even at 48 years old. Charlie Huell, the producer and co-host of The Smiley Show, thank you for the breakdown and the preview of the Open Championship. We appreciate your time always, and The Smiley Show will keep delivering all week long during the Open. Hardwood Handicaps up next here on TEL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Cherish today. Cherish this doubleheader around the WNBA. It is the final day of regular season action in the W before the All-Star break and the festivities this weekend in Phoenix. By the way, Mr. Worldwide, Pitbull going to perform at the WNBA All-Star game all-time caption, DRS, that I want you to read his announcement. We'll do it during the break, and we'll get your thoughts on it afterward about how honored he was to perform at All-Star Weekend in Phoenix. But it's the final day of games before the All-Star break and before the Olympic break. So today is Wednesday, July 17th, the next regular season day game of action around the WNBA. It's August 15th following the Olympic break. We start with the nightcap because there's also an early afternoon game in Minnesota, but we start with the nightcap in Dallas. The Wings playing host to the Indiana Fever. Caitlin Clark and the Fever, a 3.5-point favorite. Over under 178 and a hook. What do you anticipate for this Dallas duel?
Yeah, maybe coming off one of the biggest wins of the season there for the Indiana Fever, maybe they can continue that streak. Now, keep in mind, they opened up as a 4-point favorite overnight at the FanDuel Sportsbook. That has now dropped to 3.5. So one would think that more money or maybe that reverse line movement is coming in here on the Dallas Wings. But you want to take also focus into the equation. Like, I'm not a big WNBA handicapper going back years and years and years and, you know, data testing things. But the one thing we always say is, like, be careful in the final Sunday before the All-Star break and technically with Major League Baseball. One of those games, which was my Philadelphia Phillies at a 2-1 price or higher, got beat by 15 runs by the Oakland Athletics because it looked like they were already on vacation at that point. And I'm not saying this could creep in, but we also saw yesterday a 14-point favorite Aces team at home against a team they should have buried end up getting beat at home. So those are some things that I wind up saying what might take place. But I expect a big performance out of the Fever, another big performance out of Caitlin Clark. I'll be public here. I'll go against that line movement and still take that 3.5, but I expect a good performance from the Fever before we hit the break.
And you see that total of 178.5. That is lofty by WNBA standards, but we have the two worst scoring defenses in all of the WNBA, including Dallas, who gives up nearly 90 points per game. Now, the Wings have been shorthanded this year, but they started winning 3 of their first 5 games, 3-2. Arike Ogunbowale, one of the leading scorers in all of the WNBA. Some thought that Caitlin Clark got snubbed from the Olympic roster. Others thought it was Ogunbowale. She has been a leading scorer for Dallas in 16 of its 24 games this year. But again, the Wings got off to a 3-2 start. They have won just twice in their last 19 games. They are at the bottom of the table right now in the WNBA standings, just 5-19. Meanwhile, it's the reverse for Indiana. That grueling gauntlet, 11 games in the first 20 days of the season, just a 2-9 record. The lumps and the growing pains for Caitlin Clark and Aaliyah Boston and this young Fever core. Well, since that point, they're 9-5, and they've won 2 straight games against the Mercury and the Lynx against teams that have a winning record. Indiana should take care of business today on the road, only laying 3.5. But I think Donnie is right to caution what that mentality is before the long All-Star and Olympic break. Caitlin Clark only 6 assists in that game on Sunday against Minnesota. She had 13 dimes in 3 straight prior. 9.5 the assist prop for CC now at -148. Juice to the over. Just about a week and a half ago, DRS, do you remember what her assist prop was that we said, make sure you start to bet the number now because if you don't, it's going to be on the rise?
What was it? 5.5?
7.5. 7.5. And the over had the juice at -130. It has been on the rise by at least 2 assists per game over the last 10 days. First game of the day, camp day in Minneapolis, the Lynx and the Atlanta Dream starting off our doubleheader today. Minnesota in what was a home environment, but with a ton of Fever fans there on Sunday afternoon, did lose to Indiana. Minnesota now an 8-point favorite today, the over-under 152.5 against an Atlanta team much like the Dallas Wings, struggling as of late. The Dream have dropped 7 straight.
Yeah, and by the way, you're looking also at a similar betting pattern here. Now, granted, we only saw the Indiana Fever open up overnight as that -4-point favorite now drops to 3.5. We actually had an overnight favorite here for the Lynx at 9.5, and the true live number now at the FanDuel Sportsbook is -8. So maybe people betting that same pattern, like, you know what, day before these guys take a break here, I'm just going to take the points. So you're seeing some market movement there. We'll see how it shows up, but I'm always leery also of a 1 o'clock game, which I guess in Minnesota probably a 12 o'clock game at this point, how early and how that affects affect some of those biorhythms for the players just not used to playing that early. We'll see if that plays into it. But it looks like if you asked me today, I probably would say to myself, I would like the Fever, but I don't mind people betting the Wings. And then that same sort of instance where, yes, the Lynx should win, but maybe it could be a better option to take the points in that effort here. But again, I don't have enough back testing to say if it's the same thing as the All-Star break in other major sports.
Of course, the Lynx have one of the better records in the WNBA this year. Of course, they have the first championship of the season, knocking off New York in New York to win the Commissioner's Cup. Incredibly bright outlook for the rest of the year. From that point, though, Minnesota has lost 5 of its last 8, a lot of that around the injury to their big, one of the most talented around the WNBA, in Nafisa Collier. She does not have a points prop listed for today. She has missed the last few games for Minnesota. In her absence, though, I would keep an eye on Bridget Carlton. Her points prop, just 12.5. I like the over in that spot. Game number 3 of 5 of the exhibition series for Team USA in the run-up to the Paris Olympic Games. They take on Serbia today. That means Nikola Jokic on the other side. After a disappointing, perhaps, performance against the Australians, what can we expect out of the Americans today?
Similar, because, again, these games don't mean anything, and it's apparent that you're just trying to get minutes for your players to get acclimated with their teammates just to get that run up before the Olympics actually start. So betting-wise, you saw game number 1. Yes, they won by double digits, depending on when you got that line, if you won or lost. There was no question in the last game against Australia where they did run up a 20-plus point lead here and let it crash sort of at the end. So I'm not really into Team USA saying, now we got to get it together all of a sudden in Abu Dhabi against Serbia. It's a 14.5-point favorite. No real handicap, but I probably would take the points with Serbia, to be honest.
Yeah, I would as well. I also lean under. I think it's going to be a gritty, grinded-out game. We'll talk some points props that are available for this exhibition in Abu Dhabi up next, live right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Just a few more minutes live right here on this Wednesday on the Early Line. I got to head out live here in our Manhattan studio. It's Blues Wire for a second consecutive day. Mike Blewett hosting News Wire. But some final thoughts and a best bet before I go. Donnie will offer one up as well, and then he'll probably have a rendition of Listen Up to close out the show. A lot of action on the basketball court on this Wednesday with not much else to really handicap or preview. So before we say farewell and goodbye, it is time for a best bet on this Wednesday. It's time for Bye Bye Bye. All right, DRS, exhibition match number 3 for Team USA today in Abu Dhabi against Nikola Jokic and the Serbians. For Anthony Edwards to score 15-plus points, minus 113. He has been one of the leading scorers for the Americans in each of their first 2 exhibition matches. But I lean under 178 and a hook. My best bets of this day, one of the 2 games in the final day of action in the WNBA before the All-Star break and the Olympic break. That's Indiana in Dallas. I'm a little bit spooked of just laying 3.5 with the Fever or even going over 178.5 despite expecting some points today on the final day of action before the All-Star break. But I do like the point or the rebounding prop of Aliyah Boston. 17 points, 16 boards for Boston in the big win in Minnesota over the weekend. When she performs, really Indiana goes as well as Caitlin Clark. So over 9.5 rebounds for Boston, the over plus money.
All right, there you go. Enjoy that pick, and Ben's going to get out of here, have some fun, and enjoy the rest of his big 3.5-minute break at this point. So we'll take it from here in a best bet, certainly, yesterday, which I did lose, thank you to a Juan Soto walk. Look, you get to the All-Star game, people. It's not about walking. Swing the bat. Swing the bat. It's a 2-2 count. You should have swung it both the next 2 pitches there and struck out Juan Soto. But as I digress, today we do have a game that's coming up here between USA and Serbia. Kind of hard to get down on, as Ben is, you know, telling me, which side do you think you would want to go with? It's probably going to be the Serbian side here to +14.5. Total's 178.5. I don't necessarily love that, but I do love some of the individual players here for Team USA. You take a look at a guy like Anthony Edwards, who's played quite well so far in the short exhibition season for Team USA. Today at the FanDuel Sportsbook, a -113 price to score 15 or more points today. I think that is a legitimate option, but you always hear my takes here. Team USA, why are we in Abu Dhabi? Why are we playing extra games? Why aren't we just resting, trying to get ready for London? It'll play itself out. I don't know if we need a great effort from Team USA, and quite frankly, I actually would rather Team USA lose one of these startups here to lower that price point for a gold medal even more at this point. So Anthony Edwards, 15 plus points for me in the game today against Serbia. Let's see how it plays out this afternoon and have some fun with that. Now back to the All-Star game yesterday. Did you enjoy the All-Star game overall? I technically did. Did I watch it all the way through? No, because I can't stay up that late here and be functional for a morning talk show. But understand this, it's the one All-Star game that's probably going to be able to stick around because the fans technically can watch it without getting angry. Did anybody wake up this morning and say, the Major League Baseball All-Star game should absolutely end? It's a travesty. It's embarrassing here. The commission has to step in. No, we don't ever get that because the Major League Baseball players take this game seriously. And as I talked about with Ben early in the show, like if we were to equate it to the NBA All-Star game, again, you would walk a guy on purpose, give him a free pass to first base, and then say, okay, first pitch, you're running, and my catcher's going to try to throw you out. Like that's what they do in other All-Star games. It's alley-oops. It's no defense. It's not really a semblance of the game. Baseball doesn't do that. And good for them at this point because quite frankly, they could. Hey, Paul Skenes, instead of throwing gas at 100 miles an hour trying to get me out, why don't you lob one here to see if I can hit a home run? That usually would take place in other All-Star games or the equivalent of that. So shout out to Major League Baseball players at this point, keeping it real per se. Now, when we say keeping it real here at the Sports Grid Network, man, there's not a lot to watch over the next 2 days, which is why the British Open will come into focus. And shout out to people who are going to be so starved today for live activity that they're going to stay up at 1:35 a.m. to start catching some of the rounds of the British Open. That is fantastic. And tomorrow morning, when we open up the show and say, well, there's no real live sports here on Thursday, what? The British Open is going to be live while we're on the air for the early line, and we'll spend a lot of time talking about that. Maybe get your bets in. And also, keep in mind, the Open does start in the middle of the night. Don't wait till the morning and say, hey, you know what? I wanted to get this guy. And he's 3 under par by the time you wake up. Get those wagers in early. Be a better sports bettor that way. And also, Friday, as we wait, Major League Baseball back in the picture. NFL teams coming back to training camp. A couple weeks out of the first preseason game. The trade deadline in Major League Baseball. It's coming so soon for us here. I can't wait to see it play out. But again, let's go, Anthony Edwards. Get your 15 points tonight. And once again, thank you to the All-Star Game for providing some content yesterday and us moving forward. That'll do it for today's show. It's the Early Line right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Ben and Donnie. We'll be back tomorrow. See you then.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylow's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit 1 per customer while supplies last. Discount taken in time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.